إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praises due to Allah, we praise Him. We seek His assistance and we ask Allah's forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah allows to go astray, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt His mention. May Allah grant Him peace, His companions, and all those who follow Him on their righteous path. All those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. All you who have believed, have taqwa of Allah the way He deserves it. And do not die except as Muslims. What comes after is the fact that the most truthful speech is the Quran, the Book of Allah. And the best way of life and example to be followed is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of affairs are the ones that we introduce into this deen of ours. Because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, every innovation will lead astray, and whatever is astray will be going to the fire. Brothers in Islam, it is not permissible for you to be crossing the lines in this fashion. Those who came late, I'm speaking to you. It is not allowed for you to come while the Imam is on the minbar and disturb the believers to sit in the front. Akhi, tfaddal, pray two rak'at. Ya Shaykh, tfaddal, pray two rak'at and don't do it again. You cannot come late. This is not a supermarket. This is the house of Allah. You love to be in the front. You want to listen. You want a place to sit. You have from Fajr till now to come to the masjid. But to come the last minute and cause this havoc, I'm speaking, the brothers looking at those coming in, the khutbah is gone. And this is from the tricks of the shayateen. So I will lose my concentration, you will not benefit. What is the Jum'ah for? A social gathering? So we can have some chicken and rice afterwards? I don't think so. I urge my brothers to fear Allah, learn from the lessons. For years, same story, different day. Only a few people in the masjid, everyone else comes at the last minute. Then they cause all this havoc in the house of Allah. Please don't do it again. The point of the lecture, or the khutbah, is the fact that Islam, the religion which we follow, and we praise Allah, has three distinct qualities that no other religion shares with us. Islam is characterized by three distinct qualities. First of which is al-baqa, permanence, continuity. It does not end. The message will exist until the end of time, until the Day of Judgment. The message of Islam in its authentic references will ever remain available for the children of Adam. And towards the end of time, it will be gone. Until then, it has the quality of continuity. Continuity and permanence, the religions that preceded us don't have that. They have been abrogated by the arrival of Islam. The second quality is al-umum, entirety, encompassment. Islam addresses every human being on earth and every jinn. Anyone who hears the message of Islam in its correct form is expected to enter into the fold of Islam. Because Allah says in the Quran, when speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You have only been sent as a source of mercy to mankind. Whereas Jesus, peace be upon him, said according to the Bible, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. And so was Moses and every prophet that preceded them. They were sent to a particular nation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all nations. No other religion has this quality. And last but not least is perfection, al-kamal. Islam is perfect. Assuming that the crowd understands English, we can all have a definition in our minds to what the word perfect means. When you hear the word perfect, there's an idea that strikes your mind. Something that cannot accommodate addition or deletion because it is perfect. If you add, it's not perfect. And obviously if you delete, it's not perfect. Islam is perfect. And Allah said in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Now pay attention to the choice of words. This ayah was revealed in Hajj on the day of Arafah. And the ayah says, this day, meaning that day, I have perfected your religion for you. I have perfected this way of life for you, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as a way of life for everyone who adheres to it. Part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilling His favor upon us is perfecting the religion. Why is that important? It is important because we remain to have some Muslims who insist on inventing and innovating into Islam that which is not part of it, under the claim that Islam divides bid'ah into bid'atun sayyiatun wa bid'atun hasanatun. There's a bad bid'ah and a good bid'ah. And this is from the most amazing claims the creatures can come up with. Bid'ah, linguistically, means to bring something into existence which had no example similar to it before. So Allah is Badi'u Samawati wal Ard, the originator of the heavens and the earth, because no one created anything before Allah. He brought them without a pre-existing example of heavens and the earth. Linguistically, if you invent the phone, then you become an inventor and innovator linguistically, which is fine. Islam doesn't have a problem with worldly inventions. You can invent anything that is not part of the religion, which facilitates the existence of the children of Adam on earth, which facilitates transportation, which facilitates communication, and the list goes on. No problem. But what we are worried about and striving to avoid is the innovations in the deen, in the religion. Why? Because every religion that came before us was only destroyed because of innovations. Jesus, to give you a classical example, since a lot of our brothers are Balik Islam or those who reverted to Islam, Jesus was the messenger whom Allah chose to convey the message of the oneness of Allah to the children of Israel. When they rejected Him and they tried to kill Him and crucify Him, Allah saved them and raised them up to Himself. The message remained for some time sound and authentic. His disciples were Muslims like us, who believed in Allah and followed the messenger. But it wasn't long before people started to introduce and innovate into that belief system of Jesus that which is not part of it. And sure enough, Jesus became the Son of God, then Jesus became God, then He became God incarnate, then He became one of the Holy Three with God. Then we brought a list of invented teachings that Jesus is innocent from. And Christianity became today among the most misguided people on earth, as Allah said in the Quran, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, the Jews, وَلَضَّالِينَ, those who are astray, the Christians. Because you will not meet two Christians who believe the same thing. Everyone has his own homemade idea of who Jesus is and what the church teaches and what the Bible says. What is the main problem? Innovations. They did not have foundations that prevented innovations from spreading. So when Allah made the message of Islam permanent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam words which he narrated to us, which make it impossible for anyone to introduce anything into Islam while claiming that this is serving the deen of Allah. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam in a hadith al-Irbad ibn Sariya, he said, وَعَذَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَوْعِظَةً بَلِيغَةً ذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ وَوَجَلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبِ كُنَّا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِظَةُ مُوَدِّعٍ فَأَوْصِنَا قَالَ أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمَعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَإِنْ عَبْدٌ أَحَبَشِي فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ. Unbelievable narration. Wallahi, this narration, if we understood it alone, I don't even need to continue my khutbah. And no one will invent anything afterwards. But it is the lack of understanding and the following of desires. Al-Irbad ibn Sariya said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished us. He exhorted us in such a manner that our eyes shed tears and our hearts trembled from the fear of Allah. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, it is as if you are giving farewell. It is as if you are leaving us. So give us an advice. Advise us. Pay attention. Their hearts are soft. Their eyes are crying. This is the best time for you to take advice. The worst time is when you are arrogant and happy. This is why when someone's family member dies, this is the best time for them to return to Allah. Because of that state of being lowly, being down, being humble. And this was the state of the Sahaba at that time. What was the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, I advise you to have taqwa of Allah, to fear Allah, and to listen and obey to those in charge, even if it's an Abyssinian slave. Then he said, whosoever lives amongst you after me shall see a lot of differences. Things will no longer be the same as they were at the time of the Sahaba. You will see a lot of differences. That's the warning. That's the prophecy. What is the solution? He gave us the solution without asking for it. So upon you is my sunnah. Upon you is my sunnah. And the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. Those who were in charge of the Muslims after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. Hold on it tightly and bite on it with your molar teeth. The molar teeth. Bite on the sunnah with your molar teeth. Just imagine yourself in the ocean drowning and someone throws a rope to save you. You will not hold the rope with the pinky. And you will not hold it in a soft manner. You will hold on it tight. And if you're able to bite it to save yourself from drowning, you will do so. This is the manner. This is the figure of speech which the Prophet ﷺ used to show us how important it is to adhere to the sunnah in this day and time. Bite on it with your molar teeth. Then he continued to say, and woe to you I'm warning you from introducing anything into Islam. Because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation will end up in the hellfire. You innovate in the deen of Allah, and Allah will place you in Jahannam. Why? Because you believe in the depth of your heart, Allah did not perfect your religion. The idea of the innovator is that in his heart, even if he doesn't say it, Allah did not perfect the religion, I will add something to Islam that will make it perfect. And this entails claiming Allah being deficient and imperfect. Furthermore, claiming that the Prophet ﷺ did not do the job. This is why Imam Malik said, من ابتدع في الإسلام بدعة فرآها حسنة فقد زعم أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم خان الرسالة. He said, whoever introduces something into Islam and he perceives it as something good, he has claimed that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم betrayed the message of Islam. He did not convey the message of Islam, because Allah said that this day I have perfected your religion. Whatever was not part of the religion when the ayah was revealed cannot be part of the religion today. When Allah revealed this ayah, Islam was from A to Z, for example. Islam was from A to Z. When Islam was from A to Z, Allah said, today I have perfected your religion for you. If you come afterwards and say there's another letter in the alphabet, which didn't exist then, that means that when Allah revealed this ayah, it was incorrect. There was something missing besides A to Z. This is a very, very technical understanding of the matter of innovation. And we have hundreds of narrations. Time does not allow for me to quote all of them. The bottom line, one may be saying, how do I know whether it is a sunnah or an innovation? Because today, it seems to be the other way around. Quite honestly, the majority, unfortunately, whether willingly or unwillingly, intentionally or unintentionally, they are practicing innovations while they think they're doing the sunnah. And it becomes confusing. When you see everyone doing something, and then someone tells you that's not from the sunnah, you start thinking that they are right and he is wrong, because he is one and they are many. But that's not how it works in Islam. Because Allah said, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you obey the majority of people on earth, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. So what is the sunnah? And what is the bid'ah? Shaykh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala summarized it in the most beautiful way. He said, anything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, or approved, or spoke about, is a sunnah. And anything which he didn't do, yet could have done, is an innovation. Anything which he could have done, yet he deliberately did not do it, is an innovation. Example. Many times during Jumu'ah sermon, the Imam makes a dua, and the people continue to raise their hands in that dua. However, the Prophet ﷺ being the one making dua, and the Sahaba being those present during that dua, never ever raised their hands. He could have done it on the minbar. They could have done it while listening to him. He didn't do it. They didn't do it. If you do it, you are practicing an innovation, even if 600 million Mawlanas do it. Mawlana, Mawlana, Fulan, back home, brother. Back home, wallah, the Sheikh said. But brother, this is not the deen of Islam. What your Sheikh and your local city thinks is not the deen of Allah. Because I can bring you 600 people, everyone will tell you Islam is this. And that doesn't make a difference. That doesn't get you to the guidance in the sunnah. It's very clear. So anytime someone suggests that you worship Allah in a particular manner, say, brother, هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Please give me the evidence. Don't tell me you heard or you saw this person do that. No, Habibi. That doesn't hold any water. I want you to give me an authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proving that this act of worship is part of Islam. Until you bring it, don't do it. It is better for you to avoid an act of worship that you cannot confirm as part of the sunnah than practicing an innovation. Because other people may see you and they may practice it and innovation will spread. So, at the moment right now, we may be practicing many innovations that we don't know. Stop. And go and search for a reference for each and every one. And once you're able to find the reference, ask the people of knowledge, then continue to do it. Until then, leave those inventions and innovations alone. Islam will not prevail, will not be dominant, will not be honored among the people of this world until the Muslims practice Islam as Allah revealed it, not as our forefathers practiced it. As Allah revealed it. The way Allah likes it. And Allah liked a particular set of acts of worship which He taught the Prophet ﷺ, who taught us. And He said, مَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ. Listen to this hadith. I have not left anything which will get you closer to Allah except that I commanded you to do it. Anything that Allah loves, the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to do it. Meaning you cannot bring anything which He didn't teach us and say that will get us closer to Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العلي العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. Brothers in Islam, innovations are so dangerous that they are more beloved to Iblis, Satan, and the devils, his children, than sin. Sins are a calamity. Sins are the reason behind the destruction of the children of Adam. From the time of Adam until today, every time Allah sent a tornado, or an earthquake, or a tsunami, anything, war between the people, anything that entails destruction, is a consequence of the sins that the children of Adam have earned with our own hands. Yet, innovations are worse than sins. And I will prove that to you, legally and logically. Legally, we have a hadith of a man, his name is Abdullah. Abdullah, they used to call him Himar. He used to drink a lot of alcohol. At the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an alcoholic. And very often he would be caught intoxicated and he would be brought before the Sahaba and they would beat him up as means of deterring him from going back into drinking alcohol. This was the had. This was the penal code for the one who drank alcohol. Some say 40 lashes or 80 lashes or just simply humiliating this person in public. Once he was brought again for drinking alcohol. And he used to make the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smile a lot. So while they were beating him, one of the Sahaba said, Allahumma al'anhu. Oh Allah, curse him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. Don't say that. The only thing I know of him is that he loves Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only thing I know of him, that he doesn't innovate, he loves the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't curse him. A man killed 99 people. Asked about the most knowledgeable people on earth, he was sent to a worshipper. He asked him, can I repent to Allah? He told them no. He killed them, made him 100. He asked about the most knowledgeable people, he was sent to a scholar. He said, is there a tawbah for me? He said, who will stop you from tawbah? After killing 100 souls, Allah forgave him and accepted his repentance. And he was sent on his way and became among the inhabitants of paradise. That's for the sin. On the other hand, there was a man called Dhul Khuwaisira. He was a man among the Khawarij at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was distributing some of the war booty among the Muslims. And this man came and said, Ya Muhammad, i'dil. He said, Oh Muhammad, be just. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, woe to you. If I don't apply justice, who will apply it? If the Messenger of Allah will wrong the people, then who will establish justice? So one of the Sahaba said, Khalid bin Walid, he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, allow me to strike his neck." He said, "No, leave him. He's not alone. There are many people that will come after him." If you, speaking to the Sahaba, you compare your salah to their salah, you will belittle your salah. If you were to compare your fasting to their fasting, you will belittle your fasting. However, they will recite the Quran and it will not go beyond their throat. And wallahi, if I were alive, I will kill them like Allah killed the people of Ad. Why? Pay attention now. A man drinking alcohol, but loves Allah and His Messenger, the door of Tawbah open for him. A man whose salah is better than the Sahaba, his ibadah is better than the Sahaba, but is an innovator, the Prophet ﷺ said, if I were alive, I will kill them like the people of Ad. You know why? Because these were the same people that killed the Sahaba. These were the same people that revolted against the Sahaba, that declared the Sahaba disbelievers because of major sins that they considered to be acts of disbelief, and they fought against the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the consequence of innovations. This is the reality of innovations. The innovator will hardly ever repent to Allah. If you see a brother sinning and you tell him, "Ya brother, fear Allah, this is haram," usually, except some wicked people, they will recognize it. Say, "Yes, you're right. May Allah forgive me. Make dua for me." But an innovator, you tell him this is bid'ah, he says no. What, I can't remember Allah? I can't read Fatiha? Fatiha is a bid'ah? Ya akhi, Fatiha is not a bid'ah. Fatiha is a sunnah. It's from the book of Allah. But if you go on to recite it in funerals, and you go on to recite it in weddings, and you go on to recite it in engagements, it becomes an innovation. Not the Fatiha itself, but the manner in which you're applying it. But he will tell you, Fatiha is an innovation. This is the attitude of the innovator. He doesn't humble himself, he doesn't accept advice, and he's a major philosopher. And the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَجَّزَ التَّوْبَ عَنْ كُلِّ مُبْتَدِعٍ حَتَّى يَدْعَ بِدْعَتِهِ. Allah has restricted the door of tawbah, of repentance, against every innovator until he abandons his innovation. These people will hardly ever return to Allah. So my brothers in Islam, let's get our act together. Let us learn the deen of Allah from the reliable, authentic sources. Islam is not what dad and grandfather were practicing. It is not what the people in our local masjid are practicing. Islam is the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the best generations. That's what it boils down to. You go off that track and you go into a track which leads to the hellfire. You stay on this track and your destination and final abode, inshallah, will be paradise. There's no other route. There's no other choice. So from this day onwards, each one of us should verify and make sure that our acts of worship are actually from the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, the internet and the availability of the du'at and the scholars, all of these means facilitate the acquisition of the Sunnah and the learning of the Sunnah and the verification of the Sunnah. No one has an excuse. You don't know? Ask those who know. They will tell you. They will tell you. But let us worship Allah according to the Sunnah. And let us shun innovations in all of their forms. And let us warn and advise the innovators to return to the deen. So Islam will be preserved as Allah revealed it. So Islam will be practiced as Allah is pleased with. And so the Muslims of this generation will be the nucleus for the later generations that will carry the flag of Islam and spread it in the world. If we don't start it today, then we will be of no value before Allah on the Day of Judgment. And we cannot do it while we practice innovations in Islam. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma allimna sunnah, wahdina ila sunnah, waj'alna mimman yu'allim sunnah, wa yasbir ala al-adha fi sabilika ya rabbal alameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. أقم الصلاة.